Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Ohel Parsha class learning, Vav Shvat. I believe it's January the 21st, I think. I said to my husband, I can't believe it's the end of January. I said, winter's almost over. We should just be well. So what I want to speak about... What? 22nd. Okay. Even worse. We lost the day. I just lost the day. Okay. What I want to speak about today, really, I'm calling this year the significance of prayer in the Yetzias Mitzrayim narrative. And we're going to be looking at Shmos, Ve'era, Bo, and Beshalach. And what I want to explore with you today is the central role that prayer plays, not only in our lives, but in the story of the Yetzias Mitzrayim narrative. And sometimes it emerges in most surprising sources or in places we would not necessarily expect. I'm going to begin, actually, with a vignette related by Miriam Peretz. For those of you who live with me, you know I'm always amazed when I speak in new venues or new cities. Over the past couple weeks, two new cities, and when I mention Miriam Peretz, people don't know who she is. So I know if you learn with me, you know who Miriam Peretz is. If you have not yet ordered this book, I recommend it. I always do Miriam's songs during Miriam Peretz. She lost her son, Uriel, in 1998 in the north to Hezbollah, and then her son, Eli Raz, to the south in Gaza Strip to Hamas in 2010. In between, her husband, Eli Ezer, died, she says, of a broken heart. Miriam Peretz relates the following. When I was told about Eli Raz, I reacted differently. This was a second son who was killed in battle in 2010. He was 31. He left behind four orphans. When I was told about Eli Raz, I reacted differently. I wanted to know whether in that moment he had thought of his children, if he had held their image in his mind. I wanted to know the last thought that went through his head when he saw the flash, when the last breath left his body. I'll never have the answers to those questions. I have a feeling, though, that Eli Raz's last thought was of the Jewish people, that even in the last moment of his life, he was occupied with the great mission that stood before him, not with private thoughts. That's my feeling, she writes. But in his pants pocket, we found drawings that his children had made for him. He had taken them with on the mission. And in the other pocket was a book of Tehillim. When they brought me Eli Raz's talit, I sniffed it. It smelled of the army, of grease they use on the rifles. I pictured Eli Raz on the height of his holiness. That grease symbolized the struggle of our spirit and our faith. That talit with its grease belonged to a combat soldier, and it enfolded a sefer Tehillim and a rifle. Rabbi Moshe Weinberger of Eish Kodesh writes, learning Torah is avodah shebemoach, work of the intellect, whereas tefillah is avodat halev, work of the heart. Work of the intellect, he writes, is relatively easy. Work of the heart, however, requires a tremendous amount of effort. In other words, learning Torah, he says, relatively it's easy. You could do it if you have malach, if you have chachma, if you have wisdom, if you have drive. Work of the heart, however, avodat halev, requires a tremendous amount of effort. For the heart to be awakened, easy avodah she believes, says the Gemara, right in the beginning of Maseches Tainis, which is service of the heart, havei omer zohi tefillah. This is prayer. For the heart to be awakened, one needs a certain sense of longing. One needs to feel a need for Hashem. One of the terms of tefillah, David HaMelech says in Sefer Tehillim, which was found in Eli Raz's pocket on the day that he was killed, one of the terms for tefillah is tefillah la'ani. David HaMelech says, tefillah la'ani ki ya'atov, a prayer of a poor person that he swoons, v'lifnei Hashem yishpach sicho, before God, he pours out his prayer. So tefillah la'ani, the prayer of a poor person. David HaMelech speaks about this, says Rabbi Weinberger. One is compelled to pray only when he feels complete dependence upon God. Therefore, tefillah is called tefillah la'ani, prayer of a poor person, because a poor person realizes he has nobody upon whom to rely other than the Ribbono Shel Olam. Tefillah la'ani ki yatov, he swoons before God. The underlying problem in our time, why can't we arouse our hearts to properly pray? Why properly pray? Why don't we feel the sense of avodat halev like we should? Why are we stimulated by avodat hamoach, service of the mind? Why are we excited by a class of learning that stimulates us, and we're far less excited by mundane prayer? The underlying problem in our time is we don't feel the instability of life the way we used to, says Rabbi Weinberger. We are not threatened by pogroms every Monday and Thursday. We have roofs over our head. We have food in our fridge. Even though we have challenges, for the most part, the feeling of neediness that generates a longing for God is diminished in our generation because we have a feeling of confidence, a feeling that one is in control of his destiny. Tefila la'ani does not mean that one should only pray out of financial impoverishment. Of course, it means that, but it also further, deeper implies a sense of emptiness, a sense of need. Anyone could be an ani. In other words, when David HaMelech says, Tfil al ani ki ya'atof, v'lifnei Hashem yishpach sicho, the prayer of a pauper, that he swoons and pours out his prayer before God. He's not talking about how much is in your bank account. Or maybe in his days, how many bars of gold they had and how many sheep were in the flocks. You could have many sheep and many bars of gold and you could still be an ani. L'havde alf alfei havdalos. L'havde alf alfei havdalos. We had a very nice day yesterday in the city. My three boys were all occupied with other things, so just me and my husband took my daughter, our daughter, to the city. It was a very, very nice day, Baruch Hashem. And we went to Madame Tussaud's wax museum. I'd never been there before. It was very nice. They have you been there? They have a statue of Yasser Arafat. I said, to my husband, they should just put one of Hitler in here. But it's talking about black humor. Yimach Shmo. Okay, so at first, I was a little nervous because the first thing was celebrities and we didn't know them, but then it moves to intellectuals and moves to artists and it moves to sports players. It was very nice. Fine. It was part of a very nice day. What's my point? Oh, so when I was looking at the signs by each of the wax figures, so some of the stars are the sports players. This one died at this age. This one died. They were very young. So I Googled, what did such and such die? And what did such and such die? So many of them, Nabokov, the end we saw, was that actor's name who committed suicide? Goodwill Hunting, Robin Williams. So my daughter said, what did this? So I said, they died so young. This one, a drug overdose. This one, a suicide. This one tried to commit suicide four times. So I said, why? So I said, because all the things that they had and all the fame and all the money did not make them happy. So, lahavdeh of alfei havdalos, tefila la'ani ki ya'atof, v'lifnei Hashem yishpach sicho, I could have as much money and fame in the world. But Rav Weinberger says it implies a sense of emptiness and need. To be honest, we are all that ani. We are all impoverished. So many of us, I'm calling Rabbi Weinberger, have difficulty with our children, difficulty with shidduchim, difficulty with relationships, fill in the blank, difficulty with parnasa, difficulty with hell, fill in the blanks. That could be the starting point to engaging our hearts in tefillah, acknowledging our individual impoverishment. Who could stand up and say he's not an ani? But if you really feel you're an ani, in other words, not in the financial sense, but in the emotional sense, in the social sense, in the psychological sense, then we can acknowledge our individual impoverishment, our neediness, our vulnerability, which of course will lead to a sense of feeling or realizing we are absolutely dependent on the Ribbono Shel Olam. And then tefillah becomes all-encompassing. We don't need to be going into battle with the enemy on the Gaza Strip, having the papers that my children made in one pocket and the Sefer Tehillim in the other pocket to really feel I'm an ani. Everybody in every station of life should come to that realization. And when we look, that when we notice in the narrative of Yetzias Mitzrayim, when I was preparing the shir, it's very, very interesting because in the narrative of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we see that the element of prayer plays a key role. But many in the players of the story and the emergence of the personalities in the story, we do not even expect necessarily that this should be times of prayer. So I'm going to begin by a passage that I've spoken about many times, I'm sure I've mentioned in this class many times, and that is when we first see prayer emerge in the story, in the narrative in the first place, and that's 2:23. And I've spoken about this either here in different Shi'ir, about 9, Perek Beis, Pasuk, Chav Gimel. So I say we're going to be in Shmos, in Va'era, in Bo, and Bashalach. We're going to see how prayer plays such a central role throughout the beginning of the story, the middle of the story, towards the end of the story as well. It was in those great days. I know I've quoted this here. Rashi says the king of Egypt did not die. He was afflicted with biblical tzara'as. I've quoted that many times. Rashi says he would shecht Jewish babies and bathe in their blood. yabrechu b'nei Yisrael min ha'avoda. The children of Israel groaned from the work. Vayizaku. Vayetze b'soch ha'ir. Vayizak za'aka gedola umara. Mordechai went out into the city and he cried a very, very great outcry. He's faced with the slaughter of Lahashmu la'arug arbeinus kol Yehudim. The same edict of Pharaoh becomes reenacted in the times of Haman and Achashverosh. The children of Israel, vayizaku. Mordechai calls out. Vatasha avasam el ha'alokim min ha'avoda. Their cries ascended to God from the work. We see the emergence of prayer. Prayer at this moment for the children of Israel is on such an elementary level. The Ramban explains, 223, the Ramban explains, or it could be 225, the Ramban, I think it's 225, the Ramban explains here that they weren't even channeling their prayer to God. They were just groaning. They were just calling out. They couldn't even formulate the words of prayer. And what's very interesting is that if you look in Targum Onkelos on this pasuk, he does not translate the groans or cries. He does not explain the groans or cries as prayer. He explains them as uzi'iku. They called out. They groaned. He doesn't say that they daven. But God in his great mercy, says the Ramban, and I'm pretty sure it's 225, Perek Beis Pasuk Havei, the Ramban said God channels in his great mercy, even our elementary groans, our base instinctive cries, God translates them into prayer. A person calls out in pain, God understands that that's a form of prayer. Vayishma Elokim et na'akatam. What happens? The Almighty wakes up. Ushmi kadam Hashem. And it is heard before Hashem. God accepts it. And he remembers, Vayizkor, he remembers his covenant with Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Vayar Elokim Espanei Yisrael, God sees the children of Israel. Vayyeda Elokim, God knows. The emergence of Moshe, the Savior, is brought about by these groans of the children of Israel. It wasn't Tafka prayer. They weren't picking up their machzor and saying, Hashamnu bagadnu gazalnu. They weren't picking up the sitter and saying, Rachimna. That's from Benjamin. They weren't picking up the sitter and saying, Rafa'enu, bring us our foolishness. But they were groaning. They're crying. You're in pain. You cry. God channels that into prayer. And therefore, he wakes up. Vayishma Elokim, God heard. Vayizkar Elokim, he remembered. Vayar Elokim, he saw. Vayed Elokim, he knew. My father-in-law, a number of years ago, pointed out a very, very nice insight to me. We have Arba Lashonos of Geula. And the Arba Lashonos Geula, of course, it's the beginning of Perek Vav. Arve Otseisi, Vitzalti, Votseisi, Eschem, Mitachas, Suvas, Mitzrayim, Vitzseisi, Vitzalti, Eschem, Meavodasam, I will take you out. I will save you. Vega'alti, Vilokachti, or redeem you, Lokachti, is Mamad Harsinai. My father pointed out something very nice. This base or raw form of prayer, this unrefined prayer, elicits the compassion of God. That's what the Ramban says, that God takes these groans and channels it into prayer. And there are four terms of God waking up, so to speak. Rav Salavechik explains that these cries take us from Hester Panim to Gilui Shechina, from when God's presence is concealed to when the Shechina comes back and is involved again in the destiny of his people. There are four terms, so to speak, of God waking up. Vayishma, he heard. Vayizkor, he remembered. Vayar, he saw. Vayeda, he knew. My father said, perhaps, very, very nice insight, these four terms of God's mercy being aroused correspond to the four terms of redemption. In the beginning of Perek Vav, that each of these four terms correspond to a different mention of Geula. So, Vayishma Elokim etna akatam, we could say, one second, please. Vayishma Elokim esna akasam. We could say, korsansu vehisesi aschemitachos suvlas mitzrayim. God heard their groans, their groaning, na akasam. So he took them out from the oppression of Egypt. Vayizkar Elokim esbusu. He remembered the covenant, and therefore, vitzalti aschemei avodasam. I remember, I made an oath to the forefathers. Therefore, I better save you. Beautiful. Vayar Elokim es b'nei Yisrael. God saw the b'nei Yisrael. Therefore, vaga'alti aschem. I will redeem you from your oppression. And finally, Vayeda Elokim, God knew, Lakachti. I know you need me to be a redeemer. The ultimate redemption is precious Yisro, Anochi Yoshem Elokecha. So four terms of God waking up in response to a raw form of prayer elicits four terms of redemption. So we see this is the beginning of prayer in the narrative of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Before that, we don't see any indication of prayer. We see courage. We see the righteous Gentile Paro, Bas Paro. We spoke about her. We see the Jews who defy the order of the Pharaoh and the king. But now we actually see some emergence of poorly articulated prayer, but prayer nonetheless. The next character who seems to pray or to ask for prayer in the narrative of the Yetzias Mitzrayim is none other than Pharaoh himself. It's fascinating. Repeatedly, and I'm going to show it to you, Paro asks Moshe to pray for him. Who to pray to who? What's the first thing Paro says? Parakei Pasuk Vei 5:2. What's the first thing he says?
He doesn't believe that in Hashem. What does he know about Hashem?
I don't know God. Mi Hashem Esher Eshva B'kol Eshalayach Es B'nei Yisrael. Lo Yadati Esher Shem B'gam Es Yisrael. Lo Shalayach. I don't know God. I'm not sending the people free. Go take your problem somewhere else. I don't know God. Me, who not only I don't know, who is this God? What are you even talking about? What you're saying makes no sense, Moshe. Parakei Pasuk Beis. This God that he supposedly does not know, if I could just find it for you. The first thing is, Moshe and Aaron come right after the burning bush in chapter 4 and the strange incident at the hotel. I believe we spoke of that. And they say, you know, send my people forth. God says, the God of Israel, send my people forth. They have a yanta for me in the desert. Paro says, thank you very much. Who is this God to send Israel? I don't know this God, and I'm not sending forth the people. And this Paro, who is a kofer be'ikar, who denies the very essence of the reality of the Ribbono Shel Olam, repeatedly, not once, not twice, not thrice, repeatedly asks Moshe to daven for him. Tell God he doesn't know. Let me tell you the examples. First, by Tzfardeya, frogs. Okay? Perek 8, Perek Chas, Pasuk Dalet. Frogs. There's frogs all over. They cover the land. Vayikra Parlo Moshe La'arn Vayomer Ha'atiru Al Hashem. Paro calls to Moshe and Aaron, and he says, Hatur Hashem says, now Targum Unklus explains that this is prayer. Tzalo Kadam Hashem, I've said it many times. The Aramaic word for prayer, who remembers, is the root word tzel, tzadi lamed. What does tzel mean? Shade. Why is prayer shade? You understand that when you pray, you come under the cooling protection, so to speak, the shade of God. But and nevertheless, in this case, Targum Unklus actually says, whereas the children of Israel elicit raw groaning that God channels to prayer. No. Here, Paro says to Moshe, Tzalo Kadam Hashem. Ve'ya'adei ir du ane. And he should remove the frogs. Miniu mi'ami, from me and my people. Ve'ashalech yasama. I will send the people. They could worship their God. So when it comes to frogs, he calls Moshe and Aaron and he says, please, go daven for me. Arov. 9:24, Parak Tes, Pasuk Chav Dalet. I know you don't have, I'm reading you the Pesukim. Parak Tes, Pasuk Chav Dalet, Arov. I sourced it wrong. One second, I wrote 9, it's not 9, because that's already by Bard, when he also asks Hashem to daven for him. One second. I'm sorry, could I have your pen for a minute? It's 8. Okay, by Arov, it's Parak Ches. Parchas Pasuk Avdal, thank you. Arav is wild beasts. Vayomer Paro, Anochi Ashaleich Haschem, I will send you, you will offer your sacrifices to your God in the desert. Don't go too far. Ha'atiru ba'adi, says Targum Unklus, Tzalu af alai. When you go worship, what should you do for me? Favor me. You don't think this is a little strange? That Paro, who doesn't believe in God, is telling Moshe and Aaron to pray for him? What does he ultimately recognize in the moment of his pain, in the moment of his discomfort? And the time when the Makos are plaguing he and his people, what does he really realize?
He's not in charge.
This God, who he doesn't know, seems to be much more in charge than he, who thinks he is omnipotent. Lia Orivan, yes, Sisini, says the Pasuk in Yechezkel. Paro, who says the river is mine and mine, I made it. Apparently, when he is brought to his knees, realizes, you know the expression, excuse me for using it, but there is no atheist in a foxhole. Mm. It applies very probably literally when he's in the foxhole, when he's surrounded by the arav, the wild beast, when he's surrounded by the frogs. All of a sudden he realizes that maybe he's not so powerful. Maybe there is a higher being here. Okay, so that's by arav. Now we go to Barad. For your reference, it's 9:27. Perek Tes, Pasuk of Zion, Barad. Vayishlach Paro, Vayukra the Moshe la'Aron, the bard's raining down and it's water and fire together, and he calls to Moses and Aaron, and he says, Chatasi hapam. Look what he says now. I've sinned. Hashem hatzadik, va'anim va'ami harasharim. God is righteous, me and my people are wicked. Ha'atiru al Hashem, tzalo kadam Hashem. pray to God. The Rav Mios Kolos Elohim Uvard. Stop. Go pray. I don't want to hear the Kolot Elohim anymore. I can't stand the thunder, the voice of God and the hail. I'll send you. And Moshe says, when I leave the city, I will spread my palms before God. And Moshe says, Kimifki min karta, when I leave the city, Ephros yadei bitzilo. We should know what that says. Ephros kapai, Ephros yadai bitzilo kadam Hashem. I will spread my palms in prayer before God. Once again, Paro was saying, how are we going to get rid of the bard? I can't get rid of the bard. I thought I was in charge of everything. Pray to God to get rid of the bard. Arba. Now I'm in Bo. We were in Shemos, we were in Ve'er, now we're in Bo. 10:15. Very good. Pasuk Tesvav. Again, what am I showing you? A fascinating pattern emerges that even Pharaoh, the atheist, even Pharaoh, what's the word for a person who believes in himself? I don't know. Is there such a word? Atheist doesn't believe in God. Polytheism believes in many gods. Monotheism believes in one God.
Egoist.
Okay, very good. Paro the egoist. Paro the egoist.
Narcissist.
Oh, okay, fine. Paro the narcissist. Here we go. Ready? Once again, Vayimaher Paro the Kol Moshe. Aaron Paro, who used to call to Moses and Aaron, Chatasi La Hashem Elokeichem V'lachem. Once again, Chatasi. Va'atas, okay, forgive my sin this time. Va'ha'atiru La Hashem Elokeichem. Once again, what do you think Targum Lucas is going to say? V'tzalo Kadam Hashem Elohachon. Remove this maves from me. Get rid of this death from me. That's by the arba. And finally, Makos Bechos. Tzvardera, Arov, Barad, Arba, Makos Bechos. Half the plagues. A full half of the Makos. Paro, the egoist. Paro, the narcissist. Paro, the atheist. Says, pray to God. And finally, by Makos Bechoros. Perek Yud Beis, Pasuchav Tes, for your own reference, 12:29. It was exactly a midnight. Vashem hiko kol b'charba. And to Tzrayim, God smote every firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on the throne to the firstborn of the captive who is in the in jail, beis habar, in the pit, and all firstborn of any animals that were left. And Paro gets up in the middle of the night, he and all the servants and all of Egypt. Vatehi tzaaka gedola. There is a great outcry in Egypt. There is no house where there is no dead. And Rashi explains to us that one woman was promiscuous. She did not only have relations and children with her husband. She could have had relations, says Rashi, with up to five women. So every one of her children could be a bechor to a different father. So you could have a house, says Rashi, five children dying. There's no house where there's not multiple deaths. Vayikol Moshe Aaron Laila, it's the middle of the night. Kumu, get up. This is it. Why? Rashi says, Paro was a bechor. So what is he afraid of at this point? His life. Now it's the ultimate reminder, but he is not in charge. Kumu, get up, tzu'umi toch ami, get up, leave my people, you and the Bnei Yisrael, go worship your God, whatever you said, your flocks, your cattle, take everyone that you want. Uvei rachtem gam osi, says Targum Unkus, v'tzadu af alai. And you shall pray also for me. Rashi says, rachtem gam osi, hitpaolu alai shalo amut. Hispalalu alai shalom amus. What does Paro say? Daven for me that I should not die, shani bachar. So I understand.
What? Self-centered, all right.
I get it.
He's self-centered because he wasn't worried about his own people.
100%. He was not worried about his own people, but when it comes to his life, he's worried. Yes, absolutely. That goes back to the Paro of the narcissist, Paro of the egoist, Paro of the atheist. He doesn't care about anything except Pharaoh. Except that what's fascinating is that for five Makos, he asks Moshe to daven. But I want to tell you, I wrote in my own notes. Fascinating. If you could see my notes, if you're sitting next to me. You know what emerged when I was preparing for this? This is really cool. Ready? Baruch Pokeach Ivrim. The Makos where he asks Moshe to daven for him, are those Makos... Oh! No, I thought you were saying something else. Sorry. The Makos where he asked Moshe to daven for him, I thought you were pointing to your throat. Have voice.
Oh. What do you mean?
Voice. Dam is a silent Maka.
Oh.
Let's go through them.
Yeah, okay.
Fascinating. The Makos where he asks Moshe to daven are those that have voice. Blood. He does not, we don't see that he asks Moshe to daven. I wrote it wrong here. I wrote it backwards. I wrote blood in this list. It's not correct. Blood is silent. He doesn't ask Moshe to daven for him. Tzvardeya is loud and croaking.
Right.
He asked Moshe to daven for him. Right. Daven said, Kidim, mice are quiet. They're disgusting. They're bitchy. They're uncomfortable. They don't make noise. If someone has lice in their head, you don't hear it. Yeah, you're right. Loa Leinu. You should know as a kid.
A lot of noise,
when the lice checkers came into school in Eitz Chaim, I was the kid in the class.
I wish you had not talked about this.
I had a pit in the middle of my stomach. I'm terrified of them. But they're not noisy. Blood, he does not ask Moshe to daven. It's silent. Sfardei is noisy. We know about the croaking of the frogs. And he does ask Moshe to daven. Kidim is silent. No evidence that he asked for prayer. Dam sudei kidim. Arov, wild beasts are very noisy. And he asks Moshe to daven. What about Dever? Dever's death. Death is quiet. Death is the ultimate silence. I was going to Dever. Dam sfardei kinim arav. Dever shchin. Shchin is quiet. There's no noise with boils on your body. People might be groaning, but the maka itself is not a maka of voice. Dever shchin barad. He says, virav mios kolos elokim. He himself says, I don't want to hear the voice of God. I can't stand the voice of God. It's mida kenega mida. He said, mi Hashem esha eshma bekolo. And when barad comes, if you look in the psukim, the first thing it says about the barad is that he heard the voice of God. Okay? Arba is very noisy. Arba, they're grasshoppers, crickets. They make a lot of noise. Choshech is silent. Amakas b'chor, the pasuk itself says, "Vayhi tzaaka gedola b'chor." It's Mitzrayim. Ein bayis Hashem b'amis. It's fascinating. The makos where Paro asked Moshe to utilize voice to save him and his people are the makos that naturally have voice. So that's fascinating. It's almost like a mida keneg mida. You are forced to admit, by the supremacy of God's voice, all these things were sent by God, that you have heard the voice of God. And you acknowledge that the only thing that could take this maka away from you is exercising the power of voice of prayer. Because the destination of prayer is the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Kisei HaKavod. It's unbelievable. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. 1 second, please. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam, Shalkol Nehiya Bedvaro.
Amen.
Those makos affected him physically.
Okay.
The tzvadeya, it said, went into, even into the innards. And
right.
The ones
right.
that he complains about affected him physically.
Why kinim? Shrin.
And drinking water, you can't bring your
those breath. Affect shrin. Boils. Rashi says they couldn't have relations, or the Kliyakar brings it down. It was Mida Kenegamida that separated Jewish men from the Jewish women. Therefore, Shchin separated them from their husbands and wives. They couldn't have relations. Yes, certainly affected his body.
They
Kinim.
The others were more frightening to him physically.
I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know how we could say that Shchin and Kinim didn't affect him the way that Sfardei. Yes, Rashi says they went in the innards and they were croaking from the inside. The key distinction to me seems to be this element of voice. Because I think that Barad affects Shchin boils. That makes everything so painful. The Khartoumim can't even stand because they're in so much pain. I think that affects the person's entire being as well.
I can't understand why, when the very first maka happened, that this didn't blow him away. Because he was the god of the Nile,
right.
The self-proclaimed god of the Nile. And here was something that clearly everybody could see, wow, he has absolutely no control over his own godliness.
Because it's human nature. It's human nature, because sometimes Hashem sends us very clear signs, and we too choose to ignore Yad Hashem. It's human nature. It's a strong masraska. The Sefer Bavavi Mishkan Evne, I wrote it a couple weeks ago, my weekly director. The Sefer Bavavi writes that in every person is every biblical personality. Well, it means that we all have a anivus of Moshe, and we all have the shalom of Aaron, and we all have the chesed of Avraham Avinu. And whether we like it or not, it means we all have the ayin ra of Bilam, and we all have the kina of Korach, and we all have the gaiva of Paro. Because sometimes we also don't want to see Yad Hashem all around us. Maybe that's what the Torah is trying to teach us. Never mind Paro, who came and went. He's a mummy somewhere, who didn't exist, who doesn't exist, who didn't survive. But what about us? Yeah.
I think it's kind of interesting that he asks Moshe to pray for him instead of saying, Moshe, what could I do? He just kind of removes himself, like he doesn't
okay.
want to have
so,
a relationship.
Okay, so hold that thought, because that's a very valid point, because we're going to come soon to the topic of coupling prayer with Hishtadlis. We're going to see it in the Gemara. So just hold your thought. Okay, so I want to tell you something fascinating This is unbelievable, Vart. Rabbeinu Bechaye, who lived in the 1200s. One second. In regard to, I just want to find it. Arba. One second. In regard to Arba, Rabbeinu Bechaye says as follows. It's one of the times where Paro says daven for me. We quoted it already. Right. On 10:19, Rabbeinu Bechaye says, Vayafoch Hashem Ruach Yam Chazak Ma'od. Okay, so what happens is, Paro says after Arba, daven for me, we already saw that, remove this death from me. Moshe left, Vayatar El Hashem, Unefak Milvas Paro, Moshe took leave of Paro, Vitzali Kadam Hashem, Moshe prayed. And the next pasuk says, and Hashem made a strong westerly wind come. It carried out the arba. It threw them into the sea. There was not one more arba in the whole land of Egypt. So Rabbeinu Bechaye says as follows to 10:19. Bonisha arba echad b'chol gvul Mitzrayim. One arba was not even left in the whole border of Egypt. Ready? This is unbelievable. Tfilasosha Moshe. B'makas ha'arba, the prayer of Moshe during the plague of locust. He sha'amda ad hayom.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Oh, so Rabbeinu Bechaye to 10:19 stays until today. Those are his words. Tfilaso shal Moshe b'makas ha'arba. He sha'amda ad hayom. She'ein arba mafsid b'chol gvul Mitzrayim. There is no damaging arba or locust that caused loss in the borders of Egypt until today. Ve'im yipol be'eretz Yisrael. And if you have locusts in the land of Israel, they come, they go south, and they go into the borders of Egypt. They will not consume within the borders of Egypt the produce. He says this is a well-known matter. Why? Because Moshe Davin. So here emerges another lesson. The tefillah is so powerful that a person utters. That it's not only for himself and for his time and for Pharaoh and Pharaoh Anak Egypt who were enslaving the Jews. It's the Doros. Who knows the power that I utter with Kavana when I spread my hands before God that could have an effect on the generations. And then he goes back and he refers to the plague of Tzfardea. V'hine divrei Moshe b'tfilaso ne'emanim l'sha'a u'ledoros. That's what I just said in English. And the prayers, the words of Moshe in prayer, ne'amanim l'sha'a u'ledoro. They are faithful. They are upheld for the hour, meaning for that time, and for generations. Excuse me. V'chein b'diburo sha'amar rak b'yar tisha'arna. When he said by frogs, I'll pray for you, and they will be removed. They will only remain in the river. Nishar shom adayam sheretz hamayim. There remains in the river today. What's the Nile famous for? What's one of the beasts that lives in the Nile?
Crocodile.
The Nile crocodile.
The Nile crocodile.
He says there remains there today, until today, a beast, Hanikra al Tamsa, in brackets crocodile. There is a beast in the river today, the crocodile, Visham Mitzgadel, so it is the Nile crocodile. There it grows. The Ormim Kilif Amim Yotse Minamaim. At times it could come out from the water, Shabin Nahar Nihilus, from the water of the Nilus, Shasham Godo, where he grew, Vyatse El Sfat HaNahar, he goes to the edge, the shore of the river, Ubolea Mashamotse. He swallows up from the shore what he finds there. Shnayim or Shlosho B'nei Adam B'yachar. Right? Don't be the one standing on the banks of the Nile River when the Nile crocodile comes up for some sun. He could swallow up you, two or three men. The anal shotim begufo chani v'chitzim and bows and arrows are not effective against his body. Ela imikavnu, that's called bivitno. Only if you're lucky enough to get him in his stomach. V'amru harofim, and the doctors say kieshlo ares, he is a poison. V'hanogea begufo mazik la'adam afilu achar misa. This body of the crocodile is damaging or is harmful to man even after his death. Vuhu min sfardeya. The crocodile, now we know it's a reptile, it is. It's a kind of frog. It's from the genre of frogs. It's from the, how'd you say, the
genus, species.
Species, thank you. It's from the species, means for day, it's from the species of frogs. So, in other words, Moshe Davin, then he said, Rak b'yar tisha arna. The frog will remain, this creature will remain in the river. And in fact, Taka says, Rabbeinu Bechaye, where does it remain? This species of frog remains in the river. It has emerged, or it has changed into, so to speak, a Nile crocodile. The hine mikoach divrei Moshe. That's what we're focusing on today. From the power of the words of Moshe, Nisha HaSheretz Hazeh, Sham, this Sheretz, this creeping beast, remains there. Mikoach Tfilaso, from the power of his prayer. Lo nishar arba echad b'chol gvul Mitzrayim. He goes back to, there was not one arba left in the whole borders of Egypt. It's a beautiful piece. Rabbeinu Bechai, I have to thank my son, Yitzchak Yonatan, who said this is his Dvar Torah, this Pasha. This, he was reading it outside English. He says, Rabbeinu Bechai, he says, those are, so I have to go look that up. I said to myself, I said, this is an unbelievable teaching. But what's so powerful is these words. V'hini divrei Moshe b'tvilaso ne'amanim l'sha'a u'ledoros. Teshuvah tefillah tzedakah ma'avirnas ro'gzeir. Is that something you just say, or is that something you really believe? Is it the foundational principle of our existence? Or is it something you just utter but you don't really believe? Do you really believe you are tefillah l'ani? Like Paro, Kiyatov, he understood, he was an ani. Ezehu chacham halo mimikol adam. Everyone, even Paro, has something to teach us. He understood. It sounds strange to say, but the Torah is telling us that he asked no less than 5 times. He heard the voice of God, and therefore he understood that the only thing to take away the voice of God was the voice of prayer. Furthermore, this is very, very interesting. Vayomer Shema Moshe, 8:16. Right before Arov, which is one of the times that Paro asks Moshe to daven. Pasuk says, Perek Chas Pasuk Tazayin, Vayomer Shema Moshe, Hashkein Baboker. Those words, what do they remind us of?
Abraham Avinu, when he woke up.
Yes, and what did you say?
That was it.
The same thing. Okay, fine. When Avram was Masak in the Shachas Tfilas, it says 3 times by the life of Avram that he woke up early, by the way, when he sent away Hagan Yishmael, when he goes to the Akedah, and when he's davening for the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's from the time in Perek Yates, when he wakes up and he sees that Sodom is smoking like a lion pit, Vayashkim Avram Baboker, Awamakam Asher Amancham Espnei Hashem, Chazal Zayim Maseches Brachos, Avram was Masak in Shachas. So when Avram woke up early in the morning, the sages say, what was he doing? Praying the morning prayer. Vayom Hashem Moshe, Hashkim Baboker. God said to Moshe, wake up early in the morning, v'hisyatziv ufnei Paro, stand before Paro, he is coming from the river, talking about the river, and say to him, so says God, send my people, they will worship me, if not, the next pasuk says, the wild beasts will come. Why did Moshe have to meet Paro early in the morning? Fascinating. Medrash Shmos Rabba, Yud Aleph Aleph, 11:1. Kach haya Paro rotza la'asok b'tfilah. Why does Moshe have to meet him davka early in the morning? Paro wanted to be go osek in tefillah. V'amer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, Ad shelo yetze, quickly, before he goes out, la'asok b'tefillah, leich v'hisyatzev l'fanav. You go out and stand before him. Block him. Don't let him pray. It's unbelievable. Medrash Shmos Rabba, 11:1. Vali Melech Biderman says on this message, on this medrash and this message, anyone can access the power of tefillah. That's the lashon of the medrash. Kach haya Paro rotza la'asok b'tefillah. That's a crazy thing to say. Paro? Va'amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe ad shelo yetze. Quickly, before he goes to daven before me, leich v'hisyatzev l'fanav. You go, stand before him. Says Rabbi Biderman, the Medrash shows us everyone can access the power of tefillah. Paro enslaved hundreds of thousands of Yidden. He used to kill Jewish children to bathe in their blood, we quoted that Rashi. He was a terrible, wicked Rasha. Nevertheless, he wanted to wake up to pray. Hashem would have listened to his prayers and withheld the Makkah. I'm quoting Rabbi Biderman. If Moshe hadn't gone out early to prevent the Vayashkin Baboker, it seems to indicate there's an Indian of tefillah. It's true, says the Medrash. Who was going to daven? Paro. If Moshe hadn't prevented him from praying, if that's the case, says Rabbi Biderman, we can be certain our tefillos will be accepted by Hashem as lowly as a person considers himself. He should always be mechazik himself, and remember, he isn't lowlier than Paro.
Yeah. To whom exactly was Paro davening? He was God. So who is he davening to?
Okay. So he's davening to himself, you mean?
Yeah.
Isn't there a medrash that he was going to the bathroom?
Right.
Rashi says he goes to the bathroom by the river in the morning, yes.
How do you match the two, kind of?
This was, first of all, that's a different time. Maybe after he goes to the bathroom, she says, Asher Yatzar.
There you go.
Maybe,
just lecturing, when people go to daven, Vasikin or Hashkama, this is the place that it comes from.
From Avram? Well, it can't come from Paro. You mean it comes
from
Avram?
No, I'm saying it went from
Hashkama. Okay.
To Davin Vasikin.
before nights.
Okay.
That's probably where it came from, to get up that early.
I don't know. I can't imagine we learned Vasikam from Pyro, but maybe from Avraham
Avinu.
From Avraham Avinu. Okay? We've gone through instances of prayer in Shemos. Va'era bo. Shemos, we saw the Jews pray. Va'era and bo, who's either trying to be Osek in Tefillah or asking someone to daven for him? Paro and Moshe is davening. And we see the effects of Moshe's tefillos, according to Rabbeinu Bechaya, last not only for that time, but for the generations. Which is a very strong Mr. Haskell for us in terms of the power that our prayer holds. We have to be cognizant of the words we utter in prayer. Furthermore, says Rabbi Edelman, if Paro's tefillos could be accepted, no one should think they're nothing before the Ribbono Shel Olam. Nobody here is worse than Paro. And he is tefillos, had koach. Okay. Moving on, Bishalach. So we see in Bishalach different instances where prayer is applied. Before we even go further, we see that pre-Yam Suf, okay, so when they're in the throes of the crisis, we're going to look at what they do, let's just call it in prayer, and post-Yam Suf, what do they also do? Rina, Shira. One of the sha'arim b'tfilah is Rina. Az yashir, atikach mir menevir achos arna satofi yada. They're davening after. Now we're going to come to the point that Rezi mentioned earlier, which is the idea that tefillah alone is not enough. Man must exercise hishtadlus as well. Like I could stand in the middle of 878 and pray, but I live in a world where Hashem runs teva, and it determines that if I stand in the middle of the 878 and pray, chances are it's not the best idea. It'll probably be the last prayer of my life. Okay, but I davened, but Hashem's going to say, I ran the world that there has to be tefillah plus hishtadlus. Okay. Pre-terror or pre-event, which would correspond to Tzara v'yagan emtsa v'shem Hashem ekra. Tzara v'yagan emtsa, says David HaMelech, who said in Halal Shalem, I find sorrows v'yagan and weariness, sorrows, affliction, hardship, close to Tzara v'yagan emtsa v'shem Hashem ekra. And I'm standing between a rock and a hard place. When the Egyptians are here and the Yam Suf is here and we're about to drown, so what do I do? V'shem Hashem Ekra. On the other hand, when we cross through Yam Suf and I see Vayosha Hashem Bayamu Esra Miyam Mitzrayim and I see the salvation, so Kos Yeshuos Esa, when I lift a cup of Yeshua salvation of V'shem Hashem Ekra, I also have to engage in tefillah. We have Za'aka, Tza'aka, we've spoken about that. We have Rina, those are different Sha'arim v'tefillah. Okay. 14:9, Perek Yedal, Pasuk Tes. Vayir Deful Mitzrayim Achrayim, this Bashach. The Egyptians chase after them. Vayasigo Osem Chonim Aliyam. They catch up them. They're kept. Kriyas Yam Suf Shvi Shal Pesach. They're not even a week out of Egypt. And who's coming after them? Their tormentors. Their oppressors. The taskmasters. The ones who beat them. And they catch up with them, camping by the sea. All the horse and the chariots of Paro and the riders and his army. And Paro comes close, and the children of Israel lift their eyes, and Mitzrayim is chasing after them. Vayiru ma'od. They're very afraid. Vayitz'aku b'nei Yisrael el Hashem. What do they do? The children of Israel cry out to God. Fascinating. What do you think Targum Unkel's chant is? That's prayer, we're just calling out. Just calling out. Uzi'iku b'nei Yisrael kadam Hashem. He does not use his word for prayer. Once again, it's a raw, instinctive crying out, which makes so much sense. They're still under their slave mentality. They're not even a week liberated. And who's coming? Paro, the very tormentor who shechted the babies and bathed in their blood, is catching up with them again. So we're going back almost to the 223. Parak Beis Pasuk of Gimel. Vayizaku min havoda. Vatal shavasim elokim min havoda. They go back to that raw place of prayer where they can't concentrate on anything except the torment. V'yitz'aku b'nei Yisrael Hashem. Targum does not say they're praying, only that they're calling out. Nevertheless, remember what we said, God channels, the Ramban says, base calling out from a place of pain, and he makes it into tefillah. Vayomru Moshe, and they say to Moshe, Hamabli ein kfarim b'mitzrayim, there's not enough graves in Egypt. You took us to die in the desert. Ma'azosa sisalana, what have you done? Lo tzianu b'mitzrayim, what have we come out for? Haloza, davashur dibarnu elacha, didn't we tell you in Egypt, leave us alone, we'll worship Egypt. Better for us to worship Egypt than to die in the desert. They become despondent. We should have just stayed there. What was the point? Vayomer Moshe Allah, Am Alti Ra'u. Moshe says, Hisyatzuvu uru'u es Yeshua's Hashem asher ya'asa lachan mayam. Don't worry. Stand by. You will see the salvation of God he will do for you today, like you see Mitzrayim today. You will not see them anymore. Hashem yilachem lachem. God will fight for you. Yilachem mechama. Va'atem tachrishun. And you will be, says Unklus, va'atun tishtukun. L'shaket. You will be quiet. This is the passage. Va'yomer Hashem al Moshe. Ma titzak elai. What does that mean? Why are you screaming to me? Daber b'nei Yisro v'yisu. Speak to the children of Israel that they should travel forth. No interruptions yet, please. Interestingly, Targum Onkelos explains, Ma titzak elai, why are you crying out to me? Va'amar Hashem l'Moshe. God said to Moshe, Kablis tziloscha. What does that mean? Kablis, kabel tziloscha.
I have received your...
Oh, your prayer, not why are you davening to me, which is like a strange thing for God to say to Moshe, excuse me. No, it's difficult for us to understand why Hashem would be saying to Moshe, why are you praying to me? So Uncle says it's not what it means. It means kablis tziloscha.
I accepted.
Your prayers have been accepted. Therefore, malal im b'nei Yisrael v'yitlun, speak to the children of Israel that they should journey for us. So what's interesting is here, that even though Unka says the children of Israel were just screaming, that arouses God's mercy. It leads Moshe to pray. God says to Moshe, your prayers have been accepted, and now we should travel for us. So now I want to quote from the Gemara Masechta Sota, Lamed Zayin. So the Gemara says as follows. You know, you would think everyone by Yamsuf is saying, I want to go in first. So the Gemara says different opinions. No, I want to finish this piece first, please. Amar lo Rabbi Yehuda, lo kachaya masa. So the Gemara are debating what exactly was happening by Yamsuf. According to one opinion, says Rabbi Yehuda, Elazeh omer ein ani yorei tchila liyam. This tribe says, I'm not going into the sea. Elazeh omer ein ani yorei tchila liyam. And this tribe says, I'm also not going into the sea. Kafatz Nachshon ben Aminadav. Nachshon ben Aminadav jumped up. V'yarod liyam tchila. And went into the sea. First, Shanemar. And then, by the way, you should know, I'm not going to go through because we're starting to run out of time. The Gemara says that he was davening Sefer Tehillim. He's quoting Tehillim. Sivavuni bechachash Ephraim uvimirma beis Yisrael v'yehuda ad Ram imkel v'alav mefarish b'kabbalah. He was saying, Hosheini Elokim, kiba'u maim ad nefesh. Save me, God. It's from Tehillim, chapter 69. Save me, God. Samech Tes. Water has come to my soul. Tavati. This is what Nachshon ben Aminadav. So he understood the Indian of Shtalas. What did Nachshon say? Someone better jump in, because nobody jumps in. What did Hashem say to Moshe? Daber al b'nei Yisrael v'yisu. Doesn't say speak to the children of Israel and I'll split the sea. Speak to the children of Israel, they got to travel. Once they start traveling, the sea will split. So Nachshon ben Aminadav was davening from Tehillim. Al tish tefeni shibolas mayim. Don't let the water sweep me away. But also sha'ahaya Moshe ma'arich b'tfila. While all this is going on, Moshe is davening a long, geshmak, extended, Yom Kippur davening, ma'arich b'tfila. Amar lo akosh baruch hu, yedidai tovim bayam, my beloved, the Jews are drowning in the sea, ba'ata ma'arich b'tfila lefanai, you're spending so long davening, amar lefanav, ribono sha'olam u'ma b'yadi lasos, I don't know what else to do. Amar lo dabar al b'nei Yisrael v'yisu. So now we come to the idea that you brought up before. What did you say before? I don't remember exactly what you said.
I said that it was very interesting that Paro said to Moshe to daven to him instead of what could I do?
To daven and what?
To daven. He has to daven for him instead of saying, what could I do for myself?
Correct. So that's why I brought up this makuda. A person should not only daven, but also must say, we learn from here, what can I do? For myself. Hashem was saying, you're standing here, it's very nice, it's a Yom Kippur davening, very nice. Ma'arich b'tvila. Ba'yididai tovim bayam. My beloved are drowning in the sea. Your tefillah for now is too long. So Moshe said, but what should I do? Speak to the children of Israel, let them journey forth, and you stretch out your staff over the water, and it will split. So we come to a very important nekuda towards the end of our shir. And that is that tefillah is elemental. It is foundational. It is the essence of who we are. We must all be the ani. Even Paro recognized that he was the ani. It's fascinating that the Medrash says Moshe has to meet him early in the morning because Paro would have davened, the Makkah wouldn't have come. But coupled with tefillah and the recognition that I am never in charge, the Almighty is only in charge, must be the inyan of Hishtadus Kafatz Nachshon Ben Aminadav. The Prince of Israel jumped up. The Yarod Liam Tchila. Someone's got to go in. Someone's got to go in. And therefore, Targum Onkelos, now we can understand, says to Moshe, Matitz Ak Eli, Targum Onkelos says, Kabelis Tzeloscha. Okay, I heard you. Your tefillahs were accepted. Now what do you have to do? Journey forth. And Moshe says, everyone with me? I can't take comments or questions now at all, please. Moshe says, when the people are screaming out, stand by, you will see the salvation of God that he will do for you. Hashem yilachim lachem va'atem tachrishum. God will fight for you and you will be like made deaf. You will be silent. So Rabbi Elimelech Biderman says, ready? Very, very powerful. Rabbi Elimelech Biderman says, the Chidush Harim teaches the Yam Suf split because of the shouts and the sighs. This is similar to the redemption came. God woke up, Arba Lashonus, of God's mercy being aroused, so to speak, as per my father-in-law. The Chidush Harim teaches because of those shouts, that weren't even structured prayer. Targum Onkelos does not tell us they were crying out. They were just screaming. It wasn't even davening. Nevertheless, the Yam Suf split. Vayiru Ma'od Vayitzaku B'nei Yishol Al Hashem. They were very afraid. They called out. Then it states, Hashem Yilachim Lachim V'atem Tachrishun. God will fight for you. You will be quiet. The Mechilta explains, Atem Tachrishun. You will remain silent, implies, even when you're not able to pray to Hashem and you remain quiet, Hashem will save you. This is because God will listen to your shouts, to the call of your heart. The Chidush Harim writes, it was intended, listen to this, it was unbelievable, that they should not be able to daven at that time. Remember, we already established they weren't really davening. When the Pasuk says, and they saw the Paro coming, and they saw the Bnei Yisrael, Vayitzaku Bnei Yisrael as Hashem, they called out to Hashem. But Onkelos does not say they were davening. In fact, they were not davening. They're just screaming. They're screaming. And Moshe says, don't worry. Moshe davens for them, but they're not able to daven. And the Pasuk says, God will fight for you. You will be silent. The Chidush HaRim writes, it was intended they should not be able to daven this time. Koach HaTefillah was taken away from them. So it should be known for generations that even when one feels unable to pray, one feels deaf, or one feels mute, who at times does not feel completely, at times in life, hopefully not all the time, so overwhelmed by a certain situation that they feel like they're a deaf person, they feel like they're a mute person, they feel like they're a person who lacks voice. Chidush HaRim says it's here. Hashem yulachim lachem va'atem tachrishun. It should be known for the generations that even when one is unable to pray, he should shout. And that shout alone, from that place of pain, that terror, that fear, here's Paro, will save him. Atem tachrishun. There are times in life when we feel stunned into silence. But as long as you can call out, as long as you can scream, min ha'avoda, v'yizaku, v'yitzaku, v'nei sal, al Hashem, it arouses divine mercy. His yatzavu u'ru'u, as Yeshua Hashem, asher yasa lachem hayom. But I have to end with another example. Okay, we already mentioned that post Yeshua they also daven. We have Az Yashir, and we have the tefillah of who? Miriam. So you could say Ta'a wasn't tefillah. Sure, it was, because one of the sha'arim b'tefillah is Rina, and that corresponds to Kos Yeshuos Esa uv'shem Hashem Echo. You don't only pray when you're in an emergency. You better remember that you also daven when it's good. Rav Yitzchak Kuttner, when he was on a plane that was hijacked in the 1970s, Jews all over the world recited Tehillim for his release. On Friday, one Friday, word spread that the hostages were going to be freed. Rav Mordechai Gifter, Rosh Yeshiva of Tel Zatzal, Rav Hertner was Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva Chaim Berlin. Rav Mordechai Gifter instructed a certain Talmud to go quickly gather 10 Bachrim so they could recite Tehillim for Rav Hertner. So when the group was assembled, one of the boys said to the Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi, why are you saying Tehillim? Rav Hertner is going to be freed. Rav Gifter answered, until now, we were saying Tehillim, so Hashem should bring the salvation. Now, we're saying Tehillim to thank Hashem for the salvation. Rav Gifter explained, and I think that that's very much illustrated for us very clearly here. We have the image or the narrative of the children of Israel screaming pre-crisis or during the crisis, and Moshe davening during the crisis, and Nachshon doing Kishtavos, and we have after the crisis is averted, Perek Tesvav. Why do you have a whole paragraph of Az Yashar we say every day? It's to remind us that you don't only daven when you're facing the Tzara, you also daven when it's good. Rav Gifter explained, many have a tendency to say Tehillim only during tragedy, mm-hmm. when power is standing behind you. Once the tragedy has passed, however, they tend to cease their prayers. In truth, said the Rosh Hashiva, we have to recite Tehillim after the Yeshua comes out of gratitude. This is the Rina that was spontaneously expressed on Yom Suf. I need the last 3 minutes to end our shir with right at the end of B'Shalach. That's right at the end of B'Shalach. Nachamas Amalek. Coming up to Parsha Zachar. We're 1 month away from Parsha Zachar.
Oh boy.
What?
Oh boy.
Yeah, I know, but I don't want to go off tangent. Okay? Okay. Vayavo Amalek vayachem Yisrael b'refidim. Amalek comes and they fight with the Israel. Refidim. And Moshe says to Yeshua, interesting here, listen. Interesting here. Moshe seems to have learned his lesson. Because first, he instructs Yeshua to do ishtadlos. Go gather an army. Take your men. Go out and fight with Amalek. And then we see the emergence of Moses' prayer. So he says to Yeshua, go gather men. Go out and fight Amalek. Tomorrow I will go to the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. Yeshua chose men to fight with Amalek. Moshe, Aaron, and Hur. That represents Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. Moshe, Aaron, his brother. Hur, his nephew. Go to the top of the hill. Vayihi, vahaya, kasher, yarim, Moshe, yadado. When Moshe lifts his hands, the Gavar Yisrael, Israel is victorious. Vakasher, yanich, yado. And when his hands are low, Gavar Amalek. Amalek is victorious. V'yidei Moshe kvedim. Moshe's hands are heavy. So they take a stone, they put it under him, he sits on it, and Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one from this side, one from this side. Vayihi yadav emuna. Very strange lashon. Ad bo shemesh. How would you even translate that? Vayihi yadav emuna. Ad bo shemesh. Well, what do you think Targum Unko says? Vahava yudohi pirison. His hands were outstretched. Bitzlow. In prayer. What does it mean? Vayihi yadav amuna. It means his hands were outstretched in prayer. Ad da'al shimsha. Until the sun came up. Prayer is for all times. The children of Israel groan. And the Ramban says God takes those groans. And he makes a prayer. The Chidusha Arim explains, why does it say, Hashem yulachem lachem v'atem tachrishum? Because even by the banks of Yamsuf, they couldn't even daven. They're back to the slave mentality of 223. They lack voice for prayer. It's just an oi. Did you see who's here? Nevertheless, Moshe davens for them. Hashem says, your prayers have been accepted. Travel forth. On the one hand, it's Tzar V'yagon emso v'shem Hashem ekra. And on the other hand, it's Kos Yeshuos Esa v'shem Hashem ekra. Even Paru, the egotist, the narcissist, the atheist, understands that there are no atheists in a foxhole. So what should we understand? We're not Chalila atheists. We believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam. We believe in Teshuvah, Tefillah, Tzedakah. We have to understand. We have to try to realize we are all the ani. It doesn't matter how much money's in the bank. It doesn't matter how big the house is. It doesn't matter how much food is in the fridge. Everyone is an ani. Ki ya'atov. We swoon before God. V'lifnei Hashem. Yishpoch sicho, siach is one word for prayer. Chayisar 24:63. Ve'etzi yitzchak lesuach sada lashon tefillah. Targum Onkelos also says he was davening. The Rav says Moshe's hands held continually aloft in prayer were heavy. I'm talking about the war of Amalek. They required support from his brother and his nephew to stay elevated. The task, and here we come to the final lesson of today's class. The task of requesting deliverance is too formidable for an individual alone, no matter how great the individual is. Mordechai was the god of Hadar, Sechaza. He was not assimilated. He was not one of the 18,500 Jews who went to the party. So why does he go out into the streets of the city? Because, says the Rav, the task of requesting deliverance is too formidable for an individual alone, no matter how great individual. Even Moshe could not approach God on his own to ask him to rescue the Jews from Amalek. Moshe needed two others to demonstrate his entreaty represented the will of the entire nation. Our tefillos are the doros. Our tefillos are for us and for others, and our tefillos are for all times. I'm going to end with a very, very short passage from Miriam Peretz because I began with her and I'm going to end with her. When Eli Raz was in high school, he grew his hair long. It was as black as a raven, but the sun bleached the ends golden. It made for a unique combination. He was handsome with big eyes, long lashes, and his gold-black hair. I found that girls were chasing him, but I never saw with my own eyes. If he brought them home, maybe he snuck them in. I laughed when Eli Raz told me about his encounter with the president. The president, he even met Ezra Weitzman during a condolence visit to someone who had passed away. And the president said, "Is that real?" pulling on Eliezer's locks, "or is that a wig?" Eliezer was not amused. No, I'm sorry. Yes, Eliezer, their father, was not amused. The long hair look upset him. I once heard them arguing, and Eliezer the father said to Eliraz, whom are both in the Yeshiva Shamala, "I can't bear the sight of your long hair." Eliezer responded, "Dad, Abba, I know my long hair bothers you. You're the gabbai of the Moroccan Beit Knesset. I know it's awkward, but I want you to know my God," he was in high school, "does not look at my hair length. My God allows me to grow my hair long. He allows me to wear ripped jeans, and I can pray whenever I want." So with that, we should be zocha, Yemalei Hashem, kol mishalos libenu, letova, on behalf of ourselves and all of Knesset Yisrael. Amen. Amen. Thank you, ladies. Yes?
It was very interesting you said about Moshe. He needed Aaron and he needed the sense of Miriam to hold up his hands, because the women had a very big part of Yitzias Mitzrayim.
Very nice, beautiful.
And Aaron were with Klal Yisrael in Eretz Mitzrayim, so he actually needed everybody united, the people
beautiful
who actually went
Chor represented Miriam, which is the voice of the woman. Very, very
right,
nice.
To be able to unite all the people.
Beautiful. Yes.
In regard to what I said before, I had read that Paro was frightened for his life on those times, and he said, "Pray for me." He was terrified for his own life.
Okay.
The noise, the aura, that he was scared for his own life.
Okay, but the truth is he's not so scared for his own life, because the only time he's really scared for his life is when he finally lets the Jews go, and that's Malchus Bechoros.
Right.
There must be degrees of being afraid for his life, because clearly he wasn't so afraid for his life. The only time he's really, really afraid for his life is by Malchus Bechoros, when he says, "His palal alai shalo amus gam paro bechor haya," says Rashi. Okay, you're waiting to say something, Gav.
The words tacharishim and Megillas Esther, Mordechai says,
"Im tacharish tacharishi be'eis hazos, rabba chatzal yamad ayudi mimakam acher." So, what do we learn from there? It's a different time. Here the Jews were quiet, right, and that was okay. The Torah is putting in there to teach us there are times we must be silent. On the other hand, by Esther, she was not allowed to be silent. Right. Very nice. Anything else? Yes.
Yeah. I found, as I was listening to what you were talking about, B'nai Israel being very... they were screaming, but not davening at Yom Suf. It occurred to me how very much like a newborn baby or a young infant this is. And a child doesn't know how to do anything when they're a baby except cry when they're in need.
And that still
arouses
the parents
and the parents to take. And for B'nai Yisrael, they were really in infancy also. They were in the infancy of being Klal Yisrael. They were not yet at Har Sinai. So
Zacharti lachasid ne'urayich. They were the Na'arim. Very nice. So even though they couldn't articulate their words, the cry of the infant wakes up the Ribbono Shel Olam, which is how Moshe started. What does she say? Vihine nar bocha. Bas Parah opens and sees there's a loud crying. Beautiful. Thank you very much, ladies.